Hey there, everyone. This is Noah Garcia, your host of NG Unplugged. So today, follow along as we talk about leadership impact, how your leadership affects relationships, and not just professional relationships, personal relationships of those that you lead and your own relationships. So I don't profess to be a relationship expert, but I have been in relationships and I currently am in a relationship. So first let's talk about relationships. What is relationships all about? Whether you're dating somebody, you're engaged to somebody, you're married to somebody, you have a significant other, a partner, whatever terms you choose to use to identify what a relationship is for you. What are some key elements of a relationship? And we're going to go over this in a minute. There's three main areas that I want to cover today, and there's many areas, many topics on relationships. But I want to focus on three areas and then transition into how it relates to leadership and the impact that your leadership has on relationships. So first, you know, as you meet somebody, you want to get to know them. So it's important that you get to know the person that you're interested in. So knowing the person you're involved with is important in a relationship. If you know nothing about them, and where's the relationship going to go? How's it going to flourish? How are you going to embark on a relationship journey that's of value and long-lasting and may end up in long-term relationship that may end up in marriage? So you have to get to know the person you're involved with. And are you expected to know every single thing at once? Throw everything on the plate at once and have information overload? No, that's not how a relationship, how getting to know somebody is, at least in my opinion. You get to know somebody over time. And yes, like you might know some things right off the bat during the first few dates, gives you an idea, an inkling about that person. But there's more in depth to get to know an individual. And that takes time. It's a process. It's like a discovery process. So you want to learn from that person. You want to learn about them, who they are, who he or she is. You want to be fascinated with that person, be engaged, show interest in that person. Is there chemistry with that person? You want to know the good and bad. And it's an ongoing situation. It's an ongoing thing of getting to know somebody. You should be growing and learning about each other along your relationship journey. You know, like I said earlier, if you're dating, you know, you want to get to know that person and continue learning about them. You find out one thing you don't like that says, oh, well, this thing, they don't like cats. That might be a deal breaker for you. But is there a workaround that if you like all the other aspects of the individual, are you willing to work around that with that individual? Is that individual willing to work around that with you? Sometimes people are quick to jump to conclusions and say, this person doesn't like cats, so I'm out of there. I'm out of this dating. I'm out of this relationship. And there are more serious things that might warrant getting out of a relationship. But that's for another time and subject. If you're married, you continue to learn from that person. Rediscover each other. Get to know each other And sometimes it could become mundane and become just going through the routines in a marriage. And so, how do you re-spark vitality into a marriage? How do you recognize the value in each other and the value in the relationship? So it's important to get to know each other. But just don't cut somebody off just because of one aspect that you disagree or don't like with. And I'll circle back around to that. But another important aspect in relationships is communication and listening that goes hand in hand. That's a part of that communication. Sometimes people want to just talk and talk and talk, and people talk over each other. If you ever people watch in cafes and the stores or wherever you may be, you see people talking and engaging in conversation, and it becomes interesting to see the dynamics. Whether they're both male, both female, male and female, whatever it may be, the gender, or the sex, it's interesting to see the dynamics of communication. Who's listening? Who's talking? Are both talking? Is anyone listening at all? Listening to the other person in the relationship that you're in is important. Will we always get it right? No, heck no. We're subject to this human body that we have, to the ears that we have, to the eyes that we have. If you're blind, if you're deaf, if you're hard of hearing, if you speak a different language, if your English isn't that good, there's different variables that come into play. And what we have in our minds going on. So there are times where we're not always going to get it right, but we work on it. And when we don't get it right, when we're not communicating effectively, when we're not listening effectively, or we're not actively listening, then that's where disagreements can come up, or arguments, or somebody gets mad at somebody. And these things do happen. They happen in relationships. But it doesn't mean you just throw the towel in and then just walk off. I know there's some people that may do that. But that's not a healthy approach. That's not a healthy coping mechanism. Sometimes we're just so wrapped up in the noise of the world that we forget to listen. And yes, whatever the other person or you are going through warrants a discussion, is important for you. Remember, you're in a relationship with somebody. And so it's important to kind of sort that out and let that other person know, hey, this is what I got going on. This is all the noise I have. I might not be fully here listening, and have a communication about that. So also listening includes the nonverbal cues. When you're in person talking to somebody, the body language, is it congruent with what they're saying? Is it not congruent? What are they telling you? Are you reading between the lines? We live in a text-happy society, and we miss so much of that human element. Yes, we're on the go, we're in different places. Say your partner, your significant other, work somewhere, you work somewhere else. At the end of the day, you guys go home together. You talk about your day. You could be in one room, they could be in the next room, and you guys are texting each other. Or you go, I don't know, to the gym, you go somewhere else, and you're texting, and your partner or spouse is with the kids, and so they're texting. And you meant it to say the text some way, but yet they interpret it another way. They're not you're not together to where you can understand the text messages. And so miscommunication can happen. And so even when you're talking with friends, family out there, you're texting each other, and sometimes things can get misinterpreted because you're not in that face to face. And even if it's difficult enough to communicate face to face, imagine how much more so it is when you're texting. And yes, social media is great. Yes, there's great things to it. Being able to communicate across the world, you can be communicating with some, say you have a super long distance relationship. You're in the East Coast, they're in the West Coast or the Midwest, and you're texting back and forth. There could be so much things that are missed. And while it's not possible to be in person often, maybe Skyping or maybe some video phone talk might at least give some closer human element to pick up on some cues. But communication, listening is important. So, getting to know that person, communicating, listening, and there's so much depth into communication that we're not going to go into all of that. But let's move on to the other element I want to talk about in relationships, and that's patience. You don't have to have patience that goes around the world so many times. But there needs to be some element, should be some element of patience in relationships. We live in a fast-paced society. People are in a hurry in this world today that they don't take the time to have some patience and wait on their partner or spouse. The person that you're getting to date, that you start dating, and it's a new relationship, and say they do some stuff that you don't like, then right away you're like, I'm out of here, on to the next. And then that person does stuff you don't like, then you're on to the next, and on to the next, on to the next. You're lacking patience. If you would have some patience and wait on that person, give them time, get to know them more. Maybe there's a reason behind why they are the way they are, why they reacted the way they reacted that day. It comes with empathy, it comes with kindness. And I know we come from different walks of life. The people you're dating, the people you're married to, your partner, significant others, we all come from different walks of life, cultures. Yes, there might be some similarities. And then the uniqueness that we have, our chemistry construct, who we are, all who makes us us. And so sometimes things aren't 100% there. And so that patience is needed. I'm not saying patience that, if there's something that's definitely wrong and it's ongoing and ongoing, then definitely you got to address that. And if it comes to the point, then you need to end that relationship and move on. But I'm saying with these little things that come up, if they don't meet one little thing, then you dump them. And that in itself is, I think, not a good coping mechanism, not a good coping skill in getting to know people and building relationships. Give it some time. Be willing to allow for growth and development. You may say, but time is precious. I don't got the time. Time is valuable. But relationships are not built in an instant. Yes, time is valuable. Building relationships take time. If for some reason the relationship you're in doesn't work out, learn from it, grow from it, take what you learned from that relationship on to the next relationship. You've created some value there. Remember, you have shortcomings. Sometimes you want others to accept you, and yet you don't want to accept somebody else's shortcomings. Have some patience. Be empathetic. Be understanding. That if your expectation is that you want them to accept you for who you are, you have to be willing to accept them for who they are. So these are three general areas I wanted to briefly touch on. So let's recap them. Know the person you're involved with, communication and listening, and patience. Now let's get into leadership and relationships. Specifically on the professional level first. So as a leader, you're developing relationships with the people that you lead. You want to know your team, know each of them individually and as a group. Learn from them. Learn from the people that you lead. Yes, they are learning from you. You can learn so much from the people that you lead. Each individual has value. Be fascinated by who they are as individuals, that value that they have. If you go back through my Instagrams, if you go back through my other podcasts, there's a quote I had about leadership awe. Look at that in my Instagram. Be fascinated by the individuals, the potential that they have. I mean, life is fascinating. People are fascinating. Just because they have been an employee for some time, just because you have led them for so many years, does not mean you stop getting to know them or learn from them. Take tidbits from each of the people that you lead and help mold your leadership, help build up your leadership, increase your value. It's not a one-way street. Just like relationships, if you go back to getting to know the person you're involved in a relationship, just like that in the personal relationship, in the professional relationship, you're getting to know the people that you lead, the good and bad. So get to know them. Listen to them. Communicate with them. How are you going to have dynamic relationships with the people that you lead if you don't communicate, if you don't listen to them? Are you present with them? Yes, there's so much things going on. Yes, you got tasks, goals, agendas, meetings, all kinds of stuff going on. But when they stop you in the tracks, do you stop? I know I'm guilty of it. There's times where you're so on the go, 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 go that you stop, you listen, and then you back on the go. But there's times where we gotta just stop, be present. Set everything aside. Yes, it's in your mind, but try to juggle it around in your mind palace in there and focus on what they have to say. Let them know that they matter. Are you caught up with all the noise that you are not listening to the teams that you lead? Are you caught up with all the noise that you are not listening to the individuals that you lead? You won't always get it right. Don't keep waiting for that miracle moment or that perfection, thinking, oh, I gotta wait for the perfect time to communicate. I gotta wait for the perfect time to listen. I gotta wait till I get all this crap done before I can listen, before I could be present. No, that's not how it works. If you did that, you're going to keep waiting forever. Just like in relationships, the person you're dating, the person you're involved in, if you keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for that perfect time, that's never going to come. There's no perfect moment. What may appear perfect is the maybe the like ideal optimum time, but there's to me that perfection 100% moment that you wait for. Got to get out there and just do it. And watch the people that you lead, their nonverbal cues. What are they saying? What are they telling you between the lines? Have patience with the people that you lead. Yes, they are learning from you, and everyone learns at different paces. Not everyone is like you. Don't expect them to be just like you. Don't expect the people that you lead to think like you, to feel like you, to behave like you. Yes, you lead them and guide them and shape them and help mold them. And yes, they will take tidbits and take some leadership stuff from you, but hopefully they're molding it into themselves and making their own identity, their own brand of who they are. Don't focus on their faults. Remember, you have faults. You have shortcomings. Just like in relationships, personal relationships, people have faults. People make mistakes. People mess up. So don't expect the people you lead to be perfectionists, to be faultless, to be mistakeless. Because if you make mistakes and faults as a leader, what makes you think they're not going to make mistakes and faults as followers? Have some patience. Allow them room to grow and develop. So now that we briefly went over that and tied those two areas together, personal relationships with work relationships, how does your leadership impact? That leadership impact, how does it affect relationships of the people that you lead? I'm not talking just the professional relationships that you have with them. You know, the environment that you create for those that you lead can have an impact on their relationships with others. It can have an impact on relationships with their friends, with their significant others, with their spouses. How you treat your team may have an impact on how they treat their spouse, their significant other, their boyfriend, their girlfriend when they go home. You may say, oh, well, that's not my fault. It's not my responsibility. That's on them when they go home. Or is it? You know, people go to work and some environments might be chaotic. Some environments might be peaceful, harmonious. Some environments there's no communication. Some environments there's great communication. There's a whole spectrum of work environments out there. Unfortunately, not all of them are at that top end of the spectrum where they're harmonious, everybody's getting along, things are great. It's an awesome work environment. And I'm not talking utopia. Every work environment's going to have their ups and downs, ebbs and flows. But I'm talking about just overall staying in that upper end of the spectrum. So that environment can affect the people that you lead. And yes, we're ultimately responsible for how we react to the environments and how we, the choices we make. And yes, it comes down, I understand, it comes down to individuals making choices, decisions. However, that work environment can have influence. So, for example, somebody goes into work it's a great environment. They're loving it. They get along with their coworkers, the customers, everybody else. And then they go home, they're in a good mood, and they ask their spouses talk and say, "Hey, how was your day at work?" "Oh, my day was great. We did this, we did that." If you have kids, you might be at home and kids are like, "Hey, mom, hey, dad, how was work?" Or, you react to your kids in a different way and say, "Hey, yeah, how was school? How was this? How was that?" And it rubs off at home and it trickles into the evening and into bedtime and even into the weekend. But if they're in an environment that's chaotic, that there's backstabbing, there's bosses that are just mean, that are always punitive, then it rubs off on them, and then they can go home, and then they take it out on their spouse, they take it out on their kids, maybe not in an abusive way, but they're moody and they just decide, "Oh, I'm not gonna cook tonight," or "No, I'm not gonna do laundry," or "No, you're on your own, you do that," or "I don't wanna talk to you right now, I'm not in a mood." And it could linger on into the bedroom, and they could say, "Well, no sex tonight, I'm not in a mood." It can have this whole ripple effect. Also, you set an example for relationship building. You may say, "Oh, well, I'm in a leadership role. I just tell people what to do, or I just set the vision and lay out the foundation and do this and that." You're a role model. You're an example as a leader. People look to you. So you're setting an example for relationship building. How you as a leader develop your relationships with the people you lead can give them ideas and can maybe the people you're leading never, some of them maybe never had a role model. And you're their example. They go home and how you treat them, they can treat others. You can affect people's behaviors, their feelings that they carry to their home. You can make somebody feel great. You can also make somebody feel like crap. And so those feelings they take with them home, and it rubs off on others. It can ruin their day, it can make their day. And how they act, their behaviors, how they respond, not only to your leadership, but how they respond in their relationships. How they respond with their spouses. Ineffective leadership can lead to stress at home. It can lead to stress in relationships. You may say, "Oh, Noah, you're taking it too far, that my leadership doesn't go that into the home environment of the people I lead." Have you tried asking them? You might say, "Oh, well, no, that's none of my business in this." Have you observed? Is there a correlation between your leadership and everything that's going on with the people that you lead? Have you did a comparison analysis with other leaders and their teams? Don't be afraid to do a self-evaluation of your leadership. Leadership is more than just fulfilling a role, just fulfilling in a position, just for laying out a vision. Those things are great. In one of my sayings, in one of my, go back, look through my Instagrams, or listen to my previous podcast, I mentioned, to whom much is given, much is required. You're given a leadership position. Much is required of that leadership. Understand how important and how much of an impact your leadership has in so many ways, including relationships. that ripple effect. Great responsibility comes with the leadership. Am I always going to get it right? Heck no. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes. In my relationships, in my current relationships with my kid, with my kids, with my current, in my current relationship, you know, we're going to make mistakes. We're not always going to get it right. But we work at it. We learn from it. We grow from it. We develop. So remember how personal relationships, leadership, professional relationships, how there's parallels, and how your leadership can have that ripple effect into the people that you lead, homes and their relationships with their spouses, with their significant others, family, friends. And as leaders, we don't need to go around worrying about, oh, well, then I better act this way, I better act. Be true to you. Own up to your leadership. Be accountable for your leadership. If we grow and develop our leadership, recognize the value in our leadership, it'll all come together. Remember your value. Share it with others. Remember your relationships with the team that you lead, with the individuals that you lead. Those relationships have value and matter. And their relationships with others have value and matter. There's a lot of people out there that don't give value to relationships. It's a process. It takes time. Don't let the small things come between you, between your professional and personal relationships. So until next time, take care and always find time to get unplugged.